Hear God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of the Lord. Let's pray. O God, would You give us grace and mercy to understand rightly and to apply Your Word. We pray that Christ would be exalted. We pray in His name. Amen. Please have a seat. Now, I did not see this happen. This was before my time. But apparently there was and I'm familiar with the comedian Soupy Sales. Okay, Soupy Sales. Anybody remember Soupy Sales? Right? Soupy Sales had this show that apparently he understood kids were watching. He encouraged all the kids watching his show to go to their mom's purse and pull out a dollar bill and then mail it to him. I don't know how much money he got, but that was kind of a joke. Well, I feel like I'm about to pull a Soupy Sales. How's that? I want all the kids in the room to go home today and say, "Mom and Dad, you need to buy and read to me C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia." That's what you need to do. Like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, all the way to the seventh book, The Last Battle. And those are great stories. Because there's this land called Narnia, and it's ruled by this great lion named Aslan. And Aslan loves the people of Narnia. He created it. In fact, what's so special about Narnia is animals can talk. It's a wonderful place. And Aslan loves the people of Narnia so much that he even died for them. I says, that sounds kind of familiar. Yeah, because the story is meant to help us understand what Jesus did for us. That's why I love those stories, and I want you to read them and understand them too. Well, the Chronicles of Narnia are seven books, and the very last book, called The Last Battle, is supposed to be a picture of heaven. And something really interesting happens in the last book, the last story. Some people end up going into what looks like to be an old barn. And they're shoved through this old barn door. And when they get inside the barn, they discover it's like a whole new world, a whole new beautiful world. And they say to one another, "It seems," said Tyrion, who is one of the characters in the story, "that the stable seen from within and the stable seen from without are two different places." "Yes," said Peter, "its inside is bigger than its outside." Now listen to this. Here's the money quote. "Yes," said Queen Lucy, "in our world, too, a stable once had something inside that was bigger than our whole world." Now, what was Lucy talking about? Y'all can talk to me. What? Jesus. Thank you. That's always a safe answer at church, isn't it, right? Yeah, okay. A stable in our world had something bigger than the whole world. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. It's really what we celebrate every time we gather to worship. And so we're going to look at John 1, verses 1 through 14, and just take a few minutes and see how the gift of Jesus is bigger than anything. What makes the gift of Jesus bigger than anything? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons this morning. The first is this: because when you know Jesus, you know God. When you know Jesus, you know God. And that's what John's gospel talks about. It's really plain. Look at verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And you're saying, well, who's the Word? What's he talking about? Look at verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt," or lived among us, "and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's speaking of Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, was Jesus. Jesus was with God, literally facing Him in relationship with Him, is what that means. And He was God. He is God. Jesus is eternal. So the Word made flesh is Jesus. And what's really interesting about verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what that word dwelt really is? It's really a word for tabernacled. You think, what's the tabernacle? Well, in the Old Testament, they kind of carried their temple around with them. It was a big tent. It was the tabernacle. What happened in the tabernacle, this big tent? Well, they sacrificed animals to represent the sacrifice of Jesus. It was a place where God's presence dwelt. In fact, back then, a long, long time ago, there's this huge cloud that was God's glory that resided, that stayed on top of the tabernacle. So if you think about it, the tabernacle was a place where sin was taken care of through the shedding of blood, where God's presence was. What a picture of Jesus. That's what it's saying here. Jesus came and lived among us. He took on flesh. He became one of us. So when we know Jesus, we know God. Now that's pretty significant. That's pretty important. Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. To know Jesus is to know God. Secondly, to know Jesus is to know where life is found. Life is found. Look at verses 3 and 4. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word that was spoken is the Word that brought the world into existence and then is personified in Jesus. According to verse 4, in Jesus was life. And what's interesting about this gospel, John's gospel, he's going to mention life 36 times. It's pretty important to him. Jesus is life. According to this verse, He's the kind of life that turns away darkness. We saw that in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not overcome it. Verse 9. The true light which enlightens everyone has come into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came into His own, and His own people did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Jesus is the light of the world that turns away darkness. Think about what's so scary about darkness? Well, you don't know what's there. You can't see which way to go. It's a frightening thing to be in the dark. If you have a night light in your room, guess what? I have a night light in my house. I keep little places in the hallway so that I won't trip when I get up at night. Light, dark, a dark place is a scary place. And Jesus is the light of the world, and so He deals with our fears. And the greatest fear we can ever face is death. And Jesus is the light of the world, conquers that great fear because He went to the other side of death. He rose again from the dead, so we put our hope in Him. We know that we can conquer death because of Him and live eternally. Jesus is the light of the world. His light brings life. It brings hope to brokenness and broken relationships. It creates life. And so the message of Jesus, the message of Christ, is a message of hope and life, that forgiveness is real, that relationships can be healed, that change is possible. To know Jesus is to know life and light. Thirdly and finally, to know Jesus is to know where glory is found, real glory. Look again at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt or lived among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I remember studying this passage in a seminary classroom with Dr. Knox Chamblin. And he said to us, seminary student, he said, okay, what do you think this glory is talking about? What is John talking about, the glory that's here? And I remember thinking right there, oh, I bet he's talking. I bet John is thinking about the transfiguration. Remember that? When Jesus is revealed in all His glory and Moses and Elijah are there. I bet that's what John's talking about. And my hand wanted to go up so I could answer the question and impress all my classmates. But somebody else in the class beat me to it. And they raised their hand. They said, I bet John's talking about the transfiguration. And Dr. Chamblin just got emotional. He said, that is not the answer. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm glad I didn't say it. He says, John's gospel does not record the transfiguration. In John's gospel, the glory, the hour of glory, is the cross. What Jesus did on the cross. Because the cross shows us that God stops at nothing. At nothing. to redeem His people. He gave the ultimate price in giving His Son. Jesus came on a mission, and to quote the movie Apollo 13, failure was not an option. It literally was not an option. He came to die in the place of sinners, to be raised again from the dead, so that nothing could stand in the way of forgiveness, eternal life, and a relationship that we can have with the Father through Christ. I love 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me read that one more time. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, I told you, Chronicles of Narnia, every parent ought to get them and read them to themselves and to their children. So you can pretend to read it to your kids, you're really reading it for yourself. Great stories. And you remember the first of the seven, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And you remember how the cruel White Witch has taken over Narnia. And it's a place where it's always winter and never Christmas. Always winter and never Christmas. Of course, that's kind of hard for us today. That didn't really hold. Pretty warm today, but in the story, it's always ice and cold and it's frigid, but not Christmas. And what does Aslan do? He comes and he pays the great penalty. He dies on the stone table, and then he's raised again from the dead in this imaginary story. And then he goes to this place where the White Witch has got all these prisoners, and she's turned them to stone. And all Aslan has to do is breathe on them, and they come back to life. And they join him in this great army, and they defeat the White Witch and her evil army. And then Aslan makes Peter and Edmund and Susan and Lucy kings and queens in Narnia. It's a great picture of the gospel, what God does for us. One day we rule with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. We're His sons and His daughters of the King. That's the picture of the gospel. That's why that baby born in the stable, that's why that stable, what was inside it, was much bigger than the whole outside. Because of who Jesus is. And you ask this one last question. You keep saying to know Jesus is to know God and to know where glory's found and know where life is found. Well, what does it mean to know Jesus? Well, we're helped. Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Knowing, receiving, believing. Let me give you the three things to understand about true faith and knowing Jesus. You've got to have knowledge. Know who Jesus is and what He's done. You need to agree that those things are true. It's not just enough to know, but to agree. Yes, I believe in those things. They're true. But the last element is trust. That I rest in those things. I'm committed to those things. I'm not resting in my own righteousness. I'm not resting in anything but Christ. To know, to agree, and to trust. Do you know this Jesus this morning, who's bigger than anything and everything? I pray that you do. And if you have a question, I'd love to discuss it with you on this Christmas day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word from John's gospel. Thank You for the gift of the Lord Jesus, that through Him we know You and know life and know glory. And that glory is found in what Jesus has done for us. We pray that You would drive this message deep into our hearts and minds as we fellowship with family and friends today and rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.